You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeder.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest in studio for the entire program today to celebrate the fact that President Obama has his war in Iraq now. Plus ça change. I can't remember the other part of that. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me in studio, Janine Garofalo.
Hey.
Also on today's program, President Obama has a new war. The legal justifications, they're a little fluid-ish. Also on the program today, decent announcements at the UN yesterday regarding fight against climate change. Also on the program today, a former supporter of the man who set up that terror watch list ends up on the terror watch list. Dinesh D'Souza also. Well, I was talking about Stephen Hayes. I am sorry for saying the words Dinesh D'Souza in front of Janine. The good news is he's headed to a halfway house for ascendant conservative bookseller and filmmakers.
You're talking too fast, Sam. I think that the audience won't be able to keep up because of the linguistic pace that you're at is.
And also
too
on
much.
Today's program, Janine Garofalo will be critiquing the program as we go.
You're speaking so slowly.
I'm afraid you're going to sneak up behind me and like
well, I'm right
smack
next to you. You
head.
Can see me. In your how is your peripheral vision?
My peripheral
is
vision is no, not great. I wear glasses. I don't know if you're aware.
I wear glasses too, but my peripheral vision.
Well,
seems
you're
so
sort
okay.
of set to the side of me. All right, folks. Let's well, we're out of the we're out of the blocks arguing immediately.
It's not an argument. I just feel like you needn't be afraid of me. I'm really right here. I can.
Ow! Right ow! Oh, she's touching me.
Sorry.
Ow!
Sorry.
Ow!
Sorry.
Folks. Ladies and gentlemen, Janine Garofalo, this is when we usually take a break and introduce the guest. We don't have to do that because we don't have to get you on the phone.
Right, because I'm here. But I'm usually not me on the phone. No, I know. I would have kept it secret, but you don't. On your Pete always shows me, says, and Janine Garofalo as, you know, when I'm calling in. So so why should I be
well, but, you know, people don't really read
people
that stuff
read that
often. No.
Oh, okay.
They just get the show. I would like to remind people, though, that if you want to become a member and support this program, I need all the support I can get right now. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com. Jointhemajorityreport.com. Membership is pennies a day, ladies and gentlemen. It allows us to do the daily show and the extra member show as well. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Janine, you drink coffee, don't you?
I do, but not as much as I used to. I'm more drink Red Bull now.
Oh, I see.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
All right. Well, do you ever make coffee at home?
I do not.
Right. Okay. So, but if you are one of those folks who do, and you like to get the whole bean or ground, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate, use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off.
Excellent.
All right.
If I did, I would.
There you go. Mm-hmm. A ringing endorsement from Janine Garofalo. So, Janine.
Yes. yes.
Now, of course, it hasn't been, 10 years ago, we were in another studio, a nicer studio, frankly. Not significantly nicer, but there was more of a support staff.
And there was way more commercial breaks.
There was way more commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. We won't have any today.
Right.
Yet we were talking about a war in Iraq. Now, I know how sentimental you get, and that's why.
It was such a wonderful time in my life. I mean, really, just the constant hate mail that we would get and going on TV programs and talking to infants
yes.
And bullies, and then even at the street level being confronted by post-reading Fox watchers who
yeah, it was so nice for people to come up to you.
Opinions known to me.
Right.
Or at comedy shows phoning in bomb threats, things of that nature. Oh, those were the days.
Well, now, fortunately for you, Janine,
yes.
We now have a Democratic president, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, who is engaging in another war. This one's a little bit different.
Boots on the ground. I'm going to do a remix of boots on the ground. Existential threat. Boots on the ground. Existential threat.
Is it existential or imminent?
That there's two. There's the existential threat to our way of life.
Right.
And the imminent threat that is always posed to us. But existential, I've been hearing a little more often by retired generals who it is not never disclosed who they're being paid by for more military.
I think we now all know they're being paid by they're sitting on the board of some war profiteering.
Well, a number of they'll be consulting at type of think tanks that Lynn Cheney
mm-hmm.
is in, or they'll be, on various and sundry different boards that they get paid in, and sometimes in cash and stock options. But they never disclose that on the.
No, why would that? Why would that influence their what they have to say? I mean, the fact
is, it wouldn't.
It actually probably, I think to a certain extent, it probably wouldn't. But they're in that game, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's what they do now. That's what their job is to on behalf of the industry, the military industrial. I don't want to say complex, whatever
complex.
Like Boeing or any of these contracts, and also Blackwater, which isn't Blackwater anymore. I think they're called Academy. Places like
Academy,
something like that, and they are paid handsomely to do just that, to go on and ramp up threats and to push for, and then we as the viewer are supposed to say, oh, these guys must be telling us the truth. They're retired generals. They must know what they're talking about. But it's all in service of.
Of course.
I actually tend to listen to Lawrence Korb a little more. We interviewed him. He seemed like a reasonable guy. I don't know. I don't know who he may or may not be working for. But
my guess would be somebody who's paying.
But he
him
was
to.
Very reasonable about Iraq when we interviewed him.
Well, a lot of people who are reasonable about Iraq now seem to have sort of, the perspective has certainly changed. I don't watch that much cable news anymore, but even on,
you're like, on it.
On MSNBC.
MSNBC.
Rarely, but even on MSNBC, it all seems to be, at best, just sort of like, just reporting the facts.
Uh-huh.
The opinion seems to have sort of dissipated a little bit in the course of this bombing campaign. And, there were polls out. We have this is – I don't know. This – as you know, Janine.
Yes, Sam. What do I know?
It didn't seem like there was a lot of argument from Democrats as to whether or not the extended war in Iraq was a problem, at least maybe not so much at the beginning, frankly. But we have Democrats 64% in favor of fighting, let's see, military action in the United States taking place in Iraq and Syria against Islamic militants, commonly known as ISIS. Do you approve or disapprove of this military action? Democrats, 64%. Republicans, 65%. So basically, No difference there.
Who did this poll?
This is Gallup. Mm-hmm. There is a disparity, and you know what? That seems to be what all the other polls have shown, that when it comes to air war, you know, why not drop a couple of bombs?
But it is, you know, Paul Rieckhoff has been talking about how this still does involve,
of course,
personnel and casualties, and and people want to distance themselves from it, but...
But you know what?
It's not different.
I don't think in terms of a public opinion, when we talk about the death of, there's ultimately going to be a plane or two shot down. There will be maybe some special ops people killed. We may or may not be made aware of it. And I don't think that's going to have a significant change in public opinion. Would you favor or oppose the United States sending ground troops to Iraq and Syria in order to assist groups in those countries? Democrats then say 30%, only 30% favor, 63% oppose. Independents, 35, 59. Republicans approve by a 61 to 36% majority. So that tells me a couple of things. One, we have relaxed, Democrats have relaxed their perception of what is really war. On some level, that it takes ground forces to be real war for Democrats. And it also tells me that Republicans, not so isolationists as we are led to believe.
Well, they aren't. Since when are they?
Right. But that's
I guess Rand Paul.
Right. That's the
idea. Depending on the day. But, you know, I'm actually surprised that Republicans are sporting anything and not being contrary to whatever Obama said.
Well, I think on some level it is maybe just driven by the fact that President Obama has been saying, whether or not that will be the case, that there will be no
boots on the ground.
And so maybe they're
blood and treasure.
Maybe that's
blood
their way
treasure,
of being
boots
contrarian.
On the ground, blood and treasure.
Indeed. I mean, you know, we have achieved, it seems to me, peak eternal war, right? I mean,
this has been going on since after World War I, but especially after World War II. Do you know how much
kinetic
war
activity
we've been at in a way since World War II? And a lot of people even forget Korea. I mean, come on, did MASH teach us nothing? You saw how long that conflict was by watching MASH.
Well, but
the Korean War.
after Vietnam. At the very least, there was supposedly, you know, no appetite for an open-ended war. One would have expected the same with Iraq.
No appetite for making it public as much, but
right.
Our military presence expanded, but especially in the early 70s, as there were movements in the Middle East to nationalize their resources. That was part of the reason that people were being moved to Texas for Exxon and stuff like that. They were consolidating everything, but some of it had to do with starting in 72, 73. There were leaders in the Middle East who wanted to stop giving all the profits from their resources to mm-hmm. American companies and British companies. And that we increased our military presence in the area. And there were gas and oil and energy companies who started consolidating their resources domestically, and part of that was the reason my dad was transferred in 73 to Texas the first time, but also because there's resources there in Texas. But I think that was just a consolidation, if that makes sense. You know what
yes.
I mean? Instead of having different headquarters of Exxon scattered around the states, they moved everything basically to Texas, and other companies followed suit. But I actually wanted to ask you a question. I was thinking about when they trot out the retired generals. I don't know if this is going to make sense, but the concept in the cyber world of the right to be forgotten, you know how there's movements of, you know, you can't move past your greatest humiliation in life, except if you're a war
criminal. That's happening in Europe. It's not happening
in Europe,
the States
no,
so
I'm
much,
saying
right?
The concept.
Right,
the concept,
yes.
You know, TMZ and all these outlets. And in life, you know, anything you do that's humiliating or that's will follow you and shame you is reiterated again and again, except
right.
if you're a war criminal or a right winger who's wrong.
That's right.
You somehow have that right to be forgotten.
Jesus forgives.
Well, it's very strange. How is
not
it
so
that
much
a person who's not that, say it's a Charlie Sheen or an athlete or something, and in many cases, you know, the athlete has done something that you don't want them to be forgotten about. You know, it should be remembered they've done this terrible thing. But what, you know, just John and Jane Q. Public, say they do something embarrassing. It's out there forever and it follows them. But then you can have Bill Kristol and...
Well, Henry Kissinger.
And Henry Kissinger, who is yet again just on Charlie Rose.
Yes, of course.
Really? How can you get your shoulders up any higher? Like his, he's like a melting candle. His neck, his head, head has settled in. The shoulders are way, way up. And
he's like a turtle.
He sits. It literally is like a candle that's just melting. But not even, you know, and him, at least he is an articulate, intelligent guy. You know what I mean? Like, I can see how he gets over.
He is, as opposed to
some of the Fox guys. Yes. I think he would think Fox was craven.
I think so. But he's also probably, I mean, I don't know how you measure this, but he's got to be top 10.
Who's to say anymore? He's one of the biggest, most recognizable historically.
But
there are plenty that have got to be, like, we always think of McNamara, Kissinger. Think about.
Well, Kissinger, I think, was actually far worse even than McNamara.
No, I'm not excusing him. I'm not saying he's not. But here's a guy that when he's on Charlie Rose or on an interview, he's speaking, not trying to curry favor with the fringe, not trying to. He, I believe, would think that some of the neocons, the teabaggers, and Fox is craven.
Yeah, I think so. But I think, you know, your point of, like, you know, how is it that that Kissinger can go on to NPR, go on to Charlie
and is
Rose,
respected or applauded?
And nobody brings up the fact that, like, hey, East Timor, or like, hey, there's really clear evidence that you prolonged the Vietnam War by years.
Except for SNL in the old days, Belushi and Franken and Davis had a couple of jokes about that.
Right.
And every once in a while, George Carlin back then, in a way that a lot of comedians always over the years are the social critics that will say certain things. But, you know, you can see war criminals, political actors who are responsible, I think, accessories to mass murder, be lauded, applauded, welcomed onto shows, and thanked even by people like Rachel Maddow, who I respect a great deal. I can't stand when she is so thankful that this person, this neocon criminal, is on her show. Thank you again so much, you know, for coming on the show. Really appreciate your time. That kind of thing. You know what I mean? Or Bill Maher sometimes will say, hey, sorry for ganging up on you, to, you know, Bill Kristol or mm-hmm. one of these liars. But they have this right to be forgotten. You know what I mean? And I know that might sound odd, what I'm saying, but why are they the only ones that don't have to relive their worst humiliation, their crimes, if you will? I don't understand that.
Well, they're not humiliated by it.
No, they're not.
They
should be. What I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Their worst humiliation might not be what they're feeling.
Sure.
They should.
Sure.
But
maybe that's the key.
They rise up. It's nothing. It's their Teflon. I know they don't care.
Right. Well, they're shameless, and then everything else reflects.
But the public should be apprised of.
Yeah.
Here's let's show you.
Right,
let's
right.
show you.
That
if
should
they're
be part
gonna,
of the
if they're gonna say any time that we see Charlie Sheen or I'm sorry to pick on him, he's going back to Two and a Half Men. He owes it to the fans. I just heard that on the radio. but he seems like a very nice guy, you know.
Right,
and actually, these are things that don't cause mass death. These little foibles and what have you. But he and places like TMZ and Fox and mainstream news will never let these people forget. Somehow they are always to be objects of mockery, pop culture people. But somehow a war criminal who is responsible for death and destruction of people and resources and the planet are welcomed and thanked. And then when they pass away, even if they were like Nixon, whatever, you see lines and lines of people to pay tribute. Then they rewrite history about how great these people were.
I think we covered the Reagan funeral live on old Majority Report. I still remember the moment where you had announced that Peggy Noonan had jumped into the coffin.
The coffin. No! No! I loved him. I loved him, Nancy. Peggy Noonan.
I'm sorry.
She irritates me, that Peggy Noonan.
You know, we have I think we covered this quite relatively comprehensively yesterday on the program, but we I don't know that there was I haven't seen any reports of fresh bombings over the night. But we are going in with those stalwarts of freedom, the Saudis, the Bahrainis.
Well, we're not stalwarts of freedom either. So don't make it sound like, hey, well, we're the good, we're
not beheading
reproach.
People for, what was it, the Saudi Arabia beheaded people
hang
for
on,
the other
hang
day?
Hang on, murder is murder. Death is death. And
I think they did it for copyright infringement, though.
What I'm saying, you know, whether you behead someone or you torture them or you shoot them or you drop a bomb on them, it's murder and it's death. And it just seems more barbaric to our culture to do it that way.
Right.
But, you know, both are wrong.
Ostensibly, we elect people in this country, at least. And so, you know, Bahrain is pretty as obviously we critique things like police response to Occupy and definitely what's going on in Ferguson. Bahrain's, you know, they're in a different league than we are.
I know there are levels to certain things, but to say that somehow we are this paragon of always being on the right side of history, always being the moral compass, that's just not accurate.
Right. I'm not saying that. That's not my point. My point is that when we talk about, you know, we're going into, we've lined up these five Sunni nations who are supporting what we're doing. I think it can get a little bit overplayed in terms of the moral authority there. I mean, we've lined up a bunch of really quiet.
But hasn't that been the way for a long time?
Of course.
Arm certain people that are the supposed moderates, the so-called better or lesser of the evils. This is a common pattern. Again and again and again, we do this, and then there's blowback. And
right.
It just is just the nature of repetitive warfare.
Well, isn't that
diplomacy?
To be fair, this is now, I think, eternal warfare, right?
Yeah, yes, I know, but it's been eternal warfare. We've been in a cycle of eternal warfare to one degree or another for a very long time.
I don't even think we're going to be cycling now. I think we're just going to have
right. Cycle was the wrong word.
Constant, sort of like ongoing bombing campaigns.
It's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
And that's, you know, not just us. There are others. You know, whoever had. You know, once it was Japan, more or less, or before that, Rome, Britain. You know, there are, and as long as there also are lobbying groups, and not just AIPAC, that influence the decisions that are made and what we're not allowed to talk about, things will be normalized and people will be demonized. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it will become mainstream things that other people repeat who don't know that they should. Maybe be more discerning with their information.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what's interesting is this sort of this, you know, it's now appearing that these attacks were basically a twofer for the Obama administration. We attack ISIS, we slide in a couple other groups that we, you know, feel like it might be good to sort of mow the lawn with these people a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the good news is that the Obama administration is very confident that no civilians were killed in the Syrian airstrike.
Sure, sure. How could they have been?
No. They emphasize
when you're dropping
yesterday.
A button with something from the air, when you're striking from the air, how could there be collateral damage? Well, I mean, come on.
We have the Uber of bombs now.
The Moab, the mother of all bombs?
Well, that was the mother of all bombs.
This Moab.
But I'm talking like the Uber as in the car service. We now have technology.
Which made my friend Robin get out the other day because the guy had an airport run.
Really?
Have you ever heard of such a thing? She had her luggage and he stopped on 6th Avenue near my apartment and he had gotten a more lucrative, I guess, an airport run. He said, you got to get out.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I feel like you could get fired for that.
I feel like she should.
Well, she emailed Uber and never
heard back.
What
did you do? Get a free coupon or no?
Nothing yet.
We've got the Uber of bombs now so that they've disrupted the whole bombing industry where they actually go in. These are super smart bombs.
Do they have zip bomb yet?
They have, what's that? What's the zip bomb?
Zip car.
These are super smart bombs. They get down there and they're just like, we told these bombs, you don't hit people.
When I say smart, I'm not talking about like your phone smart. I'm talking about
super smart.
We are as intelligent as a metaphor for something that is so very intelligent.
The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, however, cited by McClatchy as the most authoritative tracker of violence in Syria, told Reuters Tuesday that 8 civilians, including children, were killed in the coalition strikes. How to reconcile those things? I'm gonna choose to believe the Obama administration because we got the Uber of smart bombs.
I'm just really looking forward to the involvement of the Khorasan Group, which sounds like a financial institution.
That's,
that's
right.
Another one. The Khorasan Group.
They have come.
They're
in
hedge fund guys.
They
really, you want to fund terrorism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you want it to be an effective use of your money.
And you want it to be green if it
you're
can.
You're a Kuwaiti sheikh. And you want to fund terrorism.
The Khorasan Group.
The Khorasan Group. More bang for your buck.
They'll do one of those whitewashed ads.
You want carbon offsets before before Obama's planted.
Well, hey, they're going to do some carbon stuff by 2030. I mean, just if you can hang in there, they'll think about maybe discussing.
Let's stay on this just a little bit more before we go into
traditional gold, innovative methods.
Look what I've started. I opened a can of worms over
into,
here.
Before we go into the climate change stuff, where I think President Obama is actually doing fairly well.
I didn't mean to change the subject.
But I do want to stay on this for a moment because
absolutely. It's your show.
Are,
you do what you want. I just got on the 2 train.
No, you didn't. And did you?
Why wouldn't I get on the 2? It's
because you usually walk.
I usually do, but I got up a little later than I should have.
Ooh.
But I would have walked, and I will be walking.
Why? Why
home.
So late?
I actually turned off my alarm, thinking I was putting it on sleep. What, your sound thing doesn't work?
His soundboard.
No. I totally even forgot about it.
Oh no.
Well, I'll talk while you're
wait.
Wait, so what did you do last night?
I did a set at The Stand and one at UCB East.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Got home late.
I did, but that's not... I mean, it wasn't terribly late. I mean, I am an AARP, but it wasn't... I mean, Grandma likes...
You don't know ARP, do you?
You don't know ARP. Possibilities. Check out the possibilities at the AARP website. ARP. See, this is not your grandfather's AARP.
No, I know that.
I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's ARP. It's ARP.
Dude.
It's hip. It's hip. Hey, look, I got a free backpack, Sam, from ARP since I'm in ARP now. And in the backpack is a pill box. It says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Also
in the backpack.
Yeah. And then there's also a mesh little pouch for your passport because we said we were going to travel.
We did.
Did we not? Did we not say that? We said we were going to travel.
We said we were going to travel.
But guess what? We can't because we co-signed for a student loan. Which is not dischargeable in bankruptcy, Sam. I mean, how many times does Susie Orman have to tell you that? If you're going to co-sign for a student loan, you're not going to travel. So why get the backpack?
Is that the ARP?
Well, that's why I didn't have children. I'm going to travel, Sam. What are you going to do when Saul gets to? Well, you better hope Columbia gets that credit union thing going so kids can go to school.
I think I may have to get a job at a university.
Don't even talk
something.
About early retirement with me. Not in this economy. Not anymore.
You don't know ARP, Jeanette.
Do you have an 8-month emergency fund, Sam?
Do I have how much?
8-month emergency fund. You don't. You're pausing. Do you have a living will revocable trust?
Well, I mean,
how
that,
are your 529 plans
I think I got
for your
that
children?
On Zoom.
How are your
I got that on
Zusk.
Was Zoom? What is that?
Legal Zoom.
Legal Zoom. I got
Zusk
that.
Is for houses.
I got the legal revocable
legal Zoom. Sure.
Trust, of course.
Good. Okay, you got
I
that.
I wrote my own.
Excellent. It's like writing your own vows.
Yeah, exactly.
So how's your 529 plans for the kids?
My 529 plans are not bad, actually.
All right. Maybe you can
I'm down with
it.
That.
Okay, so if you call Susie Orman for the Can I Afford It segment, maybe you might be okay. But if you're leasing a car,
no,
don't
I'm pretty pick up sure I'm pretty sure we can't afford it.
That's right. Well, yeah, she has your paperwork, so don't lie. Some people try and scam Susie and she's not having it. She has your paperwork, for Christ's sake.
She has my paperwork?
Not yours. The general deal. When people call in for the Can I Afford It segment, they try and I want to redo my patio. And they make it sound like it's going to be nothing. But she's got all their paperwork that they have to send in to the producers
first. Oh, really? Okay.
Before the segment. And she knows what kind of debt they are really carrying. And it's only $60,000, and we're going to take some from our liquid. And she's like, you don't even have an eight-month emergency fund. You're leasing a car. You know, you took a HELOC, blah, blah, you know, that kind of thing. All these kind of things I have no involvement with.
I got no HELOC whatsoever.
No, I have no HELOC, no children. I just enjoy other people's babies. I'm going to travel, Sam, with my mesh and my pill box. And I would have filled it with Vicodin if Robin Thicke and other people didn't make it so hard for me to get it.
Or do they make it? They cut
well,
it
you know, apparently people behave badly on Vicodin, which I do not understand. They plagiarize Marvin Gaye, for example. they steal things. Sometimes they die. I just want my Vicodin. I want to watch Sherlock on PBS and read a Henry James novel. I don't
Wait,
understand
Sherlock,
why.
Is that on PBS?
Oh, Masterpiece. Sherlock. Oh, okay. With
I got that confused with Elementary.
No. Don't confuse those. I haven't seen Elementary. I hear it's okay for, you know, mainstream television. But Sherlock is so good. But any Masterpiece. I'll watch any Masterpiece mystery. Taggart, Morris, Lewis, Endeavor. George Gently.
You'll do them
Scott
all.
And Bailey. Yes, and Vicodin enhances the experience, but now I can't get it because of Robin Thicke.
I'm not even sure I know who Robin Thicke
is. I actually am not sure either. I hear about him. He's like wearing, attractive if you like that kind of thing, singer who's been in
he
trouble.
Did that song Blurred Lines that was
which
all
was
over
Marvin
the radio.
Gaye, a sample from Marvin Gaye or something like that, Marvin Gaye song.
He had the music video with the models running around.
He won't know this. Don't explain it. He doesn't know it.
Two different. So
I know who Alan Thicke is.
So he sampled a Marvin Gaye song and the Gaye family sued him. That's okay. One thing. And then
he claimed Vicodin defense?
No.
Was part of his deposition
his deposition was like, look, I was so high on Vicodin, I didn't actually write this song. Pharrell wrote
the
song.
But he was in the studio.
But I was in the studio, so I got a co-writing credit.
He's actually Alan Thicke's son. I didn't know that.
Yes, that's why he said he knew Alan.
Is he?
Yeah. Well, of course, this young person isn't going to know Thicke.
Idea.
He doesn't know from Alan Thicke.
Oh, it's really Alan Thicke's
yes,
son?
Yes, it is. I thought you knew that. That's why you said
it. No, Sam was just... Sam knows nothing.
That was the only.
No, I know. That's why I was wondering why you were trying to explain the video as if he had seen it. But
no.
I'm not that familiar with Robin Thicke either, and I didn't even know this until I was at the dog wedding, and a young person was reading it out loud from BuzzFeed on their phone.
Wait, so this is recent?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what my point is this has been going on for a while, not just with him. I just pulled him out. A lot of people apparently do things on Vicodin that I don't understand. You know what I mean? I do have sciatica, and I have a bad back, as you know. But this Vicodin, my desire for Vicodin has nothing to do with it.
I remember specifically we were doing an event.
And I laid on the floor.
Yes, we were doing an event at a huge club.
Yeah, that is.
Dance club.
Rebar, it was called at the time.
I don't know what it was. And Janine literally did the whole show lying on her back on the floor.
I did an episode of The West Wing laying down. They had my character pretend my character threw their back out.
Oh, that's funny.
But it has been going on for years, bad back, and I got the teeter table off the TV, and I hang by my ankles, and it's wonderful.
Do you? Does that work?
I do. I love it. I love the teeter table. It was not expensive. It got shipped like in 2 days. It was fantastic. And it folds up, slide it under the bed. If you have back issues, the teeter table
is amazing.
I don't, but amazing. Does Nikki?
Nikki has
it
a time.
It does everything. It's great. You just
here's the other thing.
That.
I want to get back.
We
to
got
Syria
so far off
second.
Topic.
Yes, I want to get back to Syria for 1 second.
But I'm going to travel to Syria. In summation, I'm going to Syria.
Well, you and Stephen Hayes, because
with my backpack and my AARP. Discounts.
Stephen Hayes apparently, and Janine, I know you're familiar with Stephen Hayes.
Yeah,
he's in addition to being a Fox News.
But my favorite's Megyn Kelly. Really, number one with a bullet, Megyn Kelly with a Y. Megyn with a Y, Kelly from Fox.
Stephen Hayes is on the terrorist watch list, and he thinks it is because he made a one-way trip to Istanbul for a cruise, apparently, and then came back through.
A nation cruise?
Maybe it was a nation cruise. He surmises that it's because of Syria, but he can't seem to get off the list. And mm-hmm. and this is coming on the heels of that story that I think that The Intercept did, where there's tens of thousands of people who just get thrown on the terrorist watch list for absolutely no reason.
Yes.
Also speaks to the numbers that we hear about how many Americans have gone to Syria to join ISIS. They just basically say, this is the number of Americans who have gone to Syria, and then they just without really any facts to back it up, just assume they're all going to join ISIS. When,
well, why would you let the facts get in the way of a good narrative?
Well, there you go, Janine.
A threatening narrative.
Yeah, well, they're an imminent threat to us, although this was the part that I found interesting. We've been told they're an imminent threat to us, and a lot of people believe that is because the Obama administration is trying to find some justification for the attacks in Syria, and they need to use the authorization for military force from 2001, and you need that word imminent in there.
Mm-hmm.
Other people speaking off the record have said, well, they were getting to the point where they might be able to plan something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's less than imminent.
That off the record stuff, you know, is it true or is it one of off the record? What's the point? You know, what's the point of off the record? And also, what are you afraid to say on? Why can't you say that on the record? But also, and I've discussed this before with you, that guy, Howard Feynman, I'm hearing on the Hill. What I'm hearing on the Hill. So we could all sit around and speculate. We could all claim we heard something on the Hill.
I do that very often.
But the thing is I don't understand the value of it. And MSNBC, who I love, but many other, they spend an enormous amount of time discussing things they've overheard, allegedly. And I don't understand it. What's
well, it's
point?
It's the classic, you see radio hosts do this all the time. Well, my audience is really upset about Obama.
Oh, no, that is really on it. That is just pandering and stupid. Just like when in political speeches, and I spoke to a nurse from Nutley, New Jersey, who said to me, I can't feed my children.
Wait, that was my, really? Was my bit. You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I used to do a bit.
When you were
when I was
Lieberman?
Doing stand it, no, way before that, where I would get up and I would say, I would morph into a politician,
mm-hmm.
and I go, you know, as I travel the country,
uh-huh.
I meet people all around. This was in '92, I think I did this.
I'm sure I saw it, and if it lodged
country,
in my brain and
like,
I reset it,
like
I'm
Mary
sorry.
Johnson, who's a nurse in New Hampshire.
I said
Manchester,
New Jersey.
And she came up to me and she goes, Sam, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't put food on my table for my three children. I don't know how they're going to eat. I don't know how I'm going to cope. And I looked at Mary and I said, Mary, I don't care. I'm a comedian. What am I supposed to do about it? Hey,
well, I'm sorry if I just – it's the Viking and I just plagiarized it. No, I can't get Vikings, so
it's
we know that's not,
not
true.
There was a Marin episode
but,
just like that.
You're joking.
But, you know, wait,
no,
but
no,
Sam,
not your
Marin
bit.
Took my joke.
No, it's not – Sam,
not
you
your
have...
bit that she heard your bit long ago and re-brought it up.
Right, okay.
But the thing is that is a – commonly discussed
skating
thing.
Skating on all of my material.
No. You can't honestly claim that,
Janine, when people
that
hear
it's your
you
joke
do,
in that
Janine,
it's such a common,
when people
like,
hear
thing.
You do the whole bit about, like, I quit law school and my dad said, hey,
I know, I did
you
take all that from
you. Your sideburns so long.
I know.
Do people look at you and go, like, just, that's Sam
I know,
Cedar
but
material?
I needed your life to make me seem more interesting. That's where I got the thing. I stayed in law school until I had to change the meter, until the meter ran out. And then I left law school.
Where'd that bit go?
That was just something I used to say to you when you would talk about when you were in law school. And I'd say, and then the meter ran out. That was back from Air America days, which you don't remember.
The Syrian Civil War.
Back to Syria.
Has created 2.5 million refugees. ISIS in Iraq alone probably has created 500,000 refugees, internal or external.
Well, our Iraq incursion created an
2 million internal,
huge
2 million external.
Refugees.
Yes. When we talk about we need to do something about the Syrian civil war, and my contention has always been that there's nothing we can do that's going to help in any way. We have let in this country in 2013 of those 2.5 million refugees, we have let in exactly 36 of them.
Oh my God, that's so nice. 36.
36 Syrian refugees.
God bless
America.
Because
we care so much about the Syrian people. That
and they've taken all of our jobs.
That's right.
Those 36.
Oh, I know. That actually, I was going to get to that after I said yay. I was just applauding our niceness, and then I was going to shake a fist because
well, 36,
they've taken
36
every
documented.
Job I wanted, every job I was after.
Who knows how many millions of Syrians have crossed the border in Mexico because we have such a wide open border.
Yeah, it's porous.
It's extremely
porous.
So let's just touch on climate change before we go into the better half of the program. We're all screwed. I think that's all we need to do.
Is that
right,
new information?
Is
that
show,
new?
Is
that
new
information?
Well, I mean, I don't know how new it is, but there was a report that came out in Corinne Lecaire, that is a researcher at the University of East Anglia in UK, and they have come out with a report in Nature, published on Sunday in Nature Climate Change, and it says that all the modeling, you know, the scientists do different mm-hmm. modeling. What happens at this point? What happens? Models predict how much the world will warm depending on how much we emit in the future. There are four, usually scientists look at four possible futures, ranging from an uber green society to a worst case scenario in which no action is taken to combat global warming. Research shows how today's emissions are near perfectly in line with the worst case scenario that has been projected.
Yeah, is that good? Is that good?
According to the scientists' best estimates, the world will be as much as 5.4 Celsius warmer in 2100 than it was before the Industrial Revolution. You know, part of the Syrian civil war was a function of a drought that many people think is a function of global climate change. We're going to see a lot more of this going forward. President Obama and the prime minister from China, or the chairman, I should say, China, both sort of talked a fairly decent game yesterday at the UN. We can't obviously have any type of treaty because the Senate would never ratify it at this point. You need 2/3 of the Senate. Mitch McConnell has said that if he takes over, if the Republicans take over the Senate, they're going to start to chip away at the sort of small bore stuff that the EPA has done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I
try and think in terms of
Canadian passport. That seems to me to be the best thing that we could do at this point.
But be aware that Canada has a lot of resources that a lot of people want. And Stephen Harper is a right winger. So you never know what will be.
They'll be extracting resources, and that'll probably be the trade. And
also, I have to say, in Vancouver, I love Vancouver, but the Whole Foods on Robson, the line is a little loosey goosey. You know, it's not, they don't run a tight ship like the Whole Foods here.
All right, well,
that's all. I mean, no offense, but Whole Foods, they really do. They really, really have a system, and it works. And I love Vancouver, but that Whole Foods on Robson, you know the one I'm talking about. It's a little poor.
Right, folks,
it's porous.
You might want to put
porous.
A pin in that idea to it's move porous. To Canada to escape climate change.
But actually, no. But the thing is, seriously, there were predictions in the late 60s and the early 70s, as you may recall, about this population explosion. And movies like Soylent Green came out. And by this point, we were supposed to be literally living like sardines and with no food. That was supposed to – the futurists at that time – had predicted by like 1990, 1999, that it would be unsustainable. And that did not happen.
Indeed.
And I always try and latch on to those kind of things that somehow, some way, because if you think of the Industrial Revolution, if you think what the atmosphere, just go to in London or even in the Dickensian era, where literally people would walk around covered in soot from how dirty the air was. Or if you think of the changes that came after Upton Sinclair, in the meat industry, all these kind of things. Now, one would have thought at that time, we're done. This is as bad as it can be. And yet, things get better. somehow. I try and think in terms of that.
How did I know you were such an optimist?
It's not an optimist, but I think like the history has shown us that sometimes people do the right thing, or sometimes things can correct with just of their own accord and with help from activists and progressive and what have you. I just think when I was a little kid, I do remember fearing
one child
what
policies.
Life would be like in the future. And even Logan's Run, I believe that was supposed to be the year like 2000 when old people went to you had to find sanctuary. My chip and your chip would have been blinking like Logan when we turned 30. Remember in Logan's Run?
Mm.
Farrah Fawcett was in it.
I do remember
Michael
that.
York, a young Michael York. Fantastic.
All right, well, listen, we're going to take a
things
break.
Things don't always turn out like one would think, is what I'm saying.
On that optimistic note, we're going to take a break, head into our funner half of the program.
Not funner.
As fun as...
I have some questions I want to ask you, too, about vaccinations and things like that.
I think also, yes, well, let's talk vaccinations. We'll also take phone calls, 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. You can IM me. You can pick up the app at majorityapp.com. Do you have a smartphone yet, Janine?
I don't. I still have my Samsung flip phone.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Soon I won't be – it's barely working and I won't be able to
They're going to hire
get
Janine,
another one.
Retroactively
I'm going to get
the
jitterbug phone from The Nation, the jitterbug.
646-257-3920 is the number. Folks, just a reminder, tomorrow will be not Matt and Mike Monday, but Matt and Mike midweek. Mm-hmm. Ah, right? I was so pressed with myself I came up with that. With who is it? Who's going to be?
VJ Prashad, we guess.
And then on Friday, members only, I think we're going to provide a deep archive show. I am off for Rosh Hashanah, so you get one of these. Rosh Hashanah, obviously, the Jewish New Year. Maybe not obvious.
Obviously.
Hey, obviously.
Maybe to some people.
Maybe to some people. It's
when is Sukkot?
Sukkot is actually coming up.
Tu B'Shvat?
Tu B'Shvat has passed.
Oh. I'm so sorry I didn't get you anything.
I know. It's all right. We will be back in just a moment. Folks, don't forget, you can support this program by becoming a member. Help us do the daily show. The free show exists only because of our members. So thank you, members. And to the rest of you, become a member or no thank you. Join themajorityreport.com. Also, support this program. If you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. A fix to the app is en route, ladies and gentlemen. We should be here in a couple of days. All right, we'll see you in the funner half.